Sean gets a lot of credit. Especially
see if you can put it in the cup. Yeah.
Na na na.
חיים לחיים. סטיב הספונסרס.
I want to thank the following sponsors for this evening. Josh Friedman, in honor of the IDF for doing what needs to be done. Rav Silber for constantly pushing us upward, for his wife, not the Rav's wife, but Josh's wife, for her support.
Your wife is amazing. Right. Don't get me wrong.
He sponsored
the Rav's wife.
For supporting in multiple domains for complete and safe return of the hostages in Gaza, as is a close for our brave soldiers of the IDF to stay safe as they fight for us on multiple fronts.
Main.
And this one is much shorter but amazing no less. Jerry Applebaum, in honor of his grandchild, baby Applebaum. I don't have the name.
Mazel tov. Yes. I was saying a very special thank you to your and Kaplan for the spread that you see over here in the back. On very short notice, and Baruch Hashem, as always, a special thank you to Reb Steve, who Baruch Hashem always answers the call to pull everything together. So I will say, so I'll tell you like this, you know, I was a certain reality that here we are getting ready, Emir Hashem, for Yom Tov. And I don't know, I felt if it's just me or maybe it's just everything that's going on in the world, but a sense of being woefully unprepared. And sometimes I realize that the source of feeling unprepared is, you know, we know so much about what Rosh Hashanah is, to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whatever it means to coronate God, to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our God. But the truth is, on a deeper level, the avoda of this time of year is tshuva. And tshuva, of course, requires change, and tshuva requires so much adjustment. And as we see everything shifting in our world, we recognize that this is no ordinary year. There's something so dramatically different about what's unfolding. You know, literally, again, as we sit here, you know, our precious soldiers are actively entering into Lebanon, and a limited ground operation is beginning, a new front, a new war, a new chelik. And again, on one hand, we see dramatic excitement because finally Am Yisrael has shown the world that after 2,000 years of being victimized, that the Jew is no longer the victim, but the Jew has the ability to become the victor. So there's so much changing. There's things changing on the geopolitical level, and there's things changing on the Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael level. And of course, again, there has to be so much changing on the Ruchnius level as well. So I wanted to spend a little bit of time tonight really focusing on some of the components and some of the mechanics of tshuva, and what it means ultimately again to do tshuva, and how we do tshuva, and the different mechanisms ultimately to avail ourselves of tshuva. And Rav Kook, Rav Aaron Yitzchak Gakoin Kook, has a beautiful sefer called Oros HaTshuva, and in it he writes about tshuva in the most beautiful and magnificent and glowing ways. Now the truth is, a lot of it is incredibly esoteric, but Baruch Hashem, there have been many other sefarim written that are like a commentary on Rav Kook's sefer with footnotes and different things to make it a little bit more explainable. But the beauty that I find every year, I learn Oros HaTshuva. And what I'm drawn to it more than anything is not just the beautiful concepts, but Rav Kook almost writes about tshuva like poetry. Mamish like poetry. And it's just, it's beautiful to read it, and it's beautiful to learn it. Now some of you, I know, may be wondering, especially maybe those of you who don't normally come to the Chassidus Shir. So you see again the smorgasbord in back, and the lechaims that are out. And a person might think to themselves, you know what, it's Erev Rosh Hashanah. Is this really like the right atmosphere, the right avira? So first of all, you don't have to take four plates. That's number one. I want to put that out there. That's not necessary. Or four cups, or any the wrong holiday for four cups, right? So again, always moderation is always good in everything. But Lamaisa, it is the right thing, because one of the things that sometimes we miss is that there's a simcha in Rosh Hashanah. There's a simcha coming before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a simcha coming before the Melech. Yeah, there is. There's a certain element of anxiety. There is anxiety because we're being judged. But like I always speak about, but who are we being judged by? We're being judged by a father, by Abba, who loves us so incredibly much. And all he wants is he's coming down from Shai. He's coming to us. He's bringing us close to him. There's this incredible meeting between heaven and earth, between man and God, and it goes on for 10 days. To the point that, again, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva characterizes the entire experience of Aseres Yemei Tshuva as Dirshu Hashem Behi Matzo. Seek out HaKadosh Baruch Hu when He makes Himself available. And when does Hashem make Himself especially available? Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So there is a simcha bosei. There is. Is there an anxiety? There is, because we're being judged. And everybody is judged. And everybody is inscribed in one sefer or another. And the truth is, there is a certain element of nervousness there. But it's a nervousness. It's kind of like, if you think about it, like a person is zocha to get married. I always tell the chasan and kala, whenever I meet with the chasan and kala, you know, I always say, like, if you're not nervous on the day of your wedding, then you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. See, people think that nervousness means I'm not sure about the choice that I'm making. It's not true at all. Nervousness just means that you understand the enormity of what it is that you're doing, and therefore you understand how important it is. I'm 100% sure about it. I'll tell you like a little. So, you know, it's funny. I was talking to a group of young men who are thinking about going into the Rabbanus, and one of the things they asked me was, like, in public speaking, they said, when do you stop getting nervous before you speak? And I said, I'll let you know when, but it hasn't happened for me yet. When you have a responsibility, when you know you're doing something of importance, and especially when you have an achrayus to other people, there's an anxiety, that's it. There's a nervousness. Nervousness is not a bad thing. Nervousness just means, like, no one gets nervous before they eat breakfast, right? Why? Because it doesn't matter, right? Whether you're having your Frosted Flakes or your whatever, or your toast or your muffin, it doesn't really matter, right? There's not that much riding on the choice, so I'm not nervous about it. But things that are incredibly important, there's an anxiety. So Rosh Hashanah, there is an anxiety, but never let the anxiety get in the way of the simcha. So what we're going to try to do tonight is do some of the pieces. I'm going to try to actually get through all of Perek Aleph tonight. Okay, thank you for not snickering at that. I appreciate that. Thank you for building up my confidence. I'm not a new face, right? They don't know the drill yet. I know, it's before Rosh Hashanah. Thank you. So we'll say, see here, what Rav Kook does in Perek Aleph, and actually what I want to try to do is, maybe we'll learn again next week also, because I thought about this a little bit too late. The truth is, this has to be really like an Elul series, like an ongoing series of going through the Sefer, or at least the parts that are a little bit more attainable to us. So in Perek Aleph, what Rav Kook does is he breaks up tshuva into three frameworks. There are three different types of tshuva. And if you write, look over here, so this is page 9. Does everybody have a sheet? Are there extras? There's extras over here if anyone needs. Okay. So we'll say, so here Rav Kook writes as follows. Tshuva tivis emunah sichlis. Esa tshuva anamotim shalosh ma'arachos. Rav Kook says, we find three frameworks for tshuva. Three different frameworks. Number one, tshuva tiv'is. Now what we'll do is right now we'll just translate the phrases, but then the translations aren't going to mean anything until we delve into it. Tshuva tiv'is means what we'll call like natural tshuva. Tshuva emunis, which is a tshuva based on emuna, faith-based tshuva. And tshuva sichlis. Now sichlis, at first glance, sounds like what? Right? Seichel, which means, right? Intellectual tshuva. Intellectual tshuva. So again, like I said, those translations aren't going to be all that meaningful. Let's see. Let's delve in. So Rav Kook writes as well. He says, "B'tshuva hativ is yesh shnei chalokim." In this, what we call this natural tshuva, there are two different parts to it: tshuva tivis gufanis or tshuva tivis nash. And we'll say the reason I wanted to do this piece before Rosh Hashanah is I believe that every piece in this sefer is incredible. This to me creates a framework for how to do tshuva. For like what, not in particular, you know, what Avero to do tshuva for, but again, as a framework for tshuva itself. So he writes as follows. He says, in tshuva tivis, which we'll translate as natural tshuva, yeshnei chalokim. Tshuva tivis gufanis, u tshuva tivis nafshis. So before you even, let's not bother explaining, let's delve into it. Hagufanis, so again, remember, if you're taking notes on this, so the first category of tshuva is what we call natural tshuva, tshuva tivis. In natural tshuva, there's two pieces. There's what's called physical natural tshuva, or natural physical tshuva, and natural spiritual tshuva. So what does this mean? Hagufanis soveves kol haaveros neged chuki hateva, hamusar v'atorah, hamikusharim im chuki hateva, shesof kol hanhaga ra'a, hu lahavi machlos u'machovim, v'harbe sovel mizeh adma prati v'aklali. Rav Kook says, and we'll say this is incredible, chait creates discomfort. Chait creates discomfort. Now, we'll say, we know this, right? I don't need Rav Kook to say this. Because you know what happens with sin? We'll say, let's play it out. What happens? Person commits an Aveira, and what happens? What's the immediate aftermath of Aveira?
Shame. Regret.
Oh, come on, don't be such satisfaction, right? Come on, right? No. You do the aver. In other words, a person only sins because they're going to get something out of it. So I sin, and there's pleasure. That's the way it works. If I'm not going to get pleasure, I'm not going to sin, right? I'm not going to make a mistake for no reason. So lemaisa, again, first step is commit the avera and then pleasure. Pleasure, sometimes the pleasure lasts for just a couple of moments. Sometimes it goes on for a longer time. But after a certain point in time, the pleasure dissipates. And what sets in? So it's interesting. Rav Kook doesn't even call it shame or anything. He just calls it discomfort. There's a certain pain that sets in. Man suffers. Sin creates a tremendous sense of discomfort. Now, it could very well be that sin could cause onesh. Onesh could be physical discomfort. So it could be, I commit an avera. As a result, I was physically punished. So now I'm in a state of physical discomfort. Or it could just be a state of spiritual discomfort. Turn the page. V'achari avera. So what happens? So after I sin, and after the pleasure has dissipated, I realize that I've broken myself. And as a result of breaking myself, I am in a state of pain, in discomfort. And therefore, again, what does a person do when they're in a state of discomfort? What does a person do? Right? They try to alleviate the discomfort. So that's what happens. So again, I sin because I get pleasure. Like the Gemara says, Ein Adam Chote Belo Lo. A person only sins if he's going to get something out of it. I committed the Avera. I got the pleasure. I'm not going to say that I didn't get pleasure from the sin. I did get pleasure from the sin. But now that the pleasure has dissipated, the pain sets in, the discomfort sets in. So after the discomfort sets in, now I realize I need to do something to address the pain. I need to do something to address the discomfort. I want to get my life back. Now, here, Rav Kook is actually describing like physical discomfort. Physical discomfort. Now, physical discomfort could be because I committed an avera. Commit an avera, and as a result, I'm being punished for that avera. Therefore, I'm in a state of physical discomfort, and therefore, my tshuva is I want to alleviate my discomfort. But physical discomfort doesn't just have to be about the onesh. We'll say, no, we've all had experiences like this. Oh, again, we're a group of chaverim. It's day before Rosh Hashanah. It's erev Rosh Hashanah. We'll say there are some times that I commit an avera, and afterwards, I feel sick over it. I feel sick, like I'm physically disgusted with what I did. I feel sick about it. I'm not much feel sick about it. So if Cook says, so what's going to happen then when you feel physically sick? Either physically sick because of the punishments, or physically sick because why did I do this? Like why did I put myself? So the natural reaction to physical discomfort is do something to alleviate the discomfort. So look what he writes. He says, Hamedetzina osekes baze amnam harbe. What is medicine all about? Right? What does medicine do? Right? Medicine addresses discomfort. That's what medicine does. Avalo nishtach lelo kifi hanira adayin legamre avod gidoluzu. Velo ninsa adayin hapitarin hanochon lechol shelos hatshuva gufanis. Ad kamashish, I'm just reading quickly because we're going to want to see the whole picture tonight. Ad kamashish bigvulos achayim lehachzir leodom is kala avumenu mitzadach hatam mehasei haguf hakochosav. So here's the difference though. You see, with medicine, you could have physical discomfort and you could find a medicinal remedy to alleviate all of your physical discomfort. With tshuva, it's a little bit more complicated. Sometimes after I break something inside of myself and as a result, I'm in a state of physical discomfort, it's not always immediately clear what I have to do or how I have to do it to address that physical discomfort. Right? I have a headache, I know I take 3 Advil, 2 Advil, whatever it is, and I'm good. Right? I will be good. When it comes to tshuva, how I address that physical discomfort somehow sometimes is a little bit more amorphous. Ukafi hanira miktsua shel tshuva zutaloi bekesher chazak biyesachel ki hatshuva ruchanis. It's fine. So we'll say. So therefore, again, this is what we'll call part 1A, right? Part 1A. So remember again, framework number 1 in tshuva is tshuva tivis, natural tshuva, which essentially now you begin to see, which means tshuva that is triggered by natural internal stimuli and responses. So the first level of tshuva tivis, of natural tshuva, is what Rav Kook calls tshuva tivis gufanis. Physical, natural physical tshuva. I sin because I get pleasure, the pleasure dissipates. Now I am in a state of discomfort. So therefore, tshuva says, I want to alleviate my discomfort. I want to alleviate the physical discomfort. That's the first level of tshuva. And Abosai, again, to point that we're going to see all of these stages build on each other. But this is very powerful, because Abosai, you know what happens all too often in life? What happens when we get the discomfort in the aftermath of sin? What happens? What happens? Right? We rationalize it. We tend to numb it. We tend to numb it, right? We tend to ignore it, to pretend like it's not really from sin, and we tend to kind of just put away. But pain, I will say, think about this just a moment. Physical pain is such a powerful thing, right? Because when a person experiences physical pain, they know that something's wrong, right? Rahman al-Islam, a person could have something happening inside of their body, but if they don't present with any physical symptoms, they think they're totally healthy, and meanwhile, a person, chas v'shalom, could be falling apart internally. Masha'in kein, a person presents with pain. So when I know it is ongoing pain, I know that something is wrong. It's the same thing in spirituality. When I feel a pain, that's a good thing. That means that's my neshama telling me, or it's my body telling me, as a messenger of my neshama, something's broken. So that's the first level. What's the second level? Page 11. Yosef Pnimis. A step higher than this is tshuva hativis hanafshis v'haruchanis. We'll say the second level of tshuva. So this is what we'll call tshuva 1B. So tshuva 1B is what we'll call natural spiritual tshuva. What's natural spiritual tshuva? Humashikorim Musar Klayos. This is what we call literally, again, like Klayos, literally like the kidneys. It means that you feel it in your kishkas. You feel it in your kishkas. What does this mean? And I'll say, this is so beautiful. He says, Teva hanefesh ha'enoshis hulalechas b'derach yishara. And I'll say, this is so incredibly important. The natural order of man is to walk in the right path in life. Right? In other words, my default, like my, if there was like a cruise control setting for human beings, the default setting would be to do good. I will say this is one of the interesting fundamental distinctions between Judaism and Christianity, right? That whereas often in Christianity there is this idea that man is inherently sinful and man has to correct himself. Yiddishkeit doesn't believe that. In Yiddishkeit we believe we are inherently good. We're inherently good. What's the big problem in life? So really, like, the key to success in life is don't get in your own way. Don't get in your own way. Don't mess it up. It's yours to mess up. As long as you don't get in your own way, you'll be great. So if Cook says, the neshama wants to go in the right derech, and when the neshama veers off the right way, the right derech, kishinafal b'cheit, im nafsho adayin lo nishcha salagamre, assuming that a person has not totally destroyed themselves spiritually, in the aftermath of sin, a person is going to feel a sense of spiritual distress. So whereas tshuva 1a, tshuva tivis gufanis, means that when I sin, there's a sense of physical distress that's involved. So tshuva 1b, which is tshuva tivis nafshis, says that when I sin, I become in spiritual distress. My neshama is distressed. My kishkas are distressed. He goes on, he says, v'hum izdaris loshuv letakinas hamuvas. And what do I want more than anything? I just want to fix what's broken. I just want to fix it. Ad asher yargish kinimcha cheto. What do I want more than anything? I want to go ahead and fix it. So, you know, this is interesting, because what Rav Kook is highlighting over here is that sometimes, what's the frustrating part of tshuva? Right, so let's talk this out for just a moment. What's the frustrating part of tshuva?
Not knowing if it worked.
Good. What else?
Recidivism.
Well, I'm sorry?
I don't know how to fix it.
Good.
The cycle,
getting stuck in the cycle. There's the other piece also, which is, I want to do tshuva, but like, I want it done right now. I always say, you ever have like a disagreement with someone, perhaps maybe someone you're married to, and let's say you know that you were wrong. You know that, one of those rare times, right? I know that I was absolutely unequivocally wrong. So what do I do in those moments? So I go and I apologize and I own it. So you ever have an interaction where even though you delivered a heartfelt apology, maybe even like a little glistening of a tear in the corner of your eye, right? It's really upset. The other party doesn't want to talk to you. Or the other party doesn't want to. And so, why? Because they're hurt. And it's interesting, because what often happens, it's so fascinating, even though Amlona did something wrong, what ends up happening? I get upset. Like, come on, don't you see my sincerity? Like, this is ridiculously sincere, right? What kind of person are you that you don't accept apologies? So understand, what's fascinating is, human nature is, that the moment that I realize I've done something wrong, I have inside of me such an urgency to fix it. And I want to fix it now. And that's why it's so frustrating in human relationships when I know that I did something wrong. I'm ready to fix it. I want to fix it. But I can't fix it now. The same dynamic happens in Shuva also. When the neshama realizes, I've done something wrong. I want to fix it. So the neshama's like, okay, what do we need to do? And that's why, by the way, you see this all the time, right? When people, right? What happens in El? What happens in Yom Noraim? What happens? People take on like the craziest Kabbalists. They take stuff on. I'm going to say Sefer Tehillim four times in an hour, right? And I'm going to go ahead and say Nishmas like this. And I'm only going to eat Pas Yisrael even on Pesach. You know, I'm only going to write it on all that. And all this stuff. And like, Kabbalas. And meanwhile, like, then, of course, well, generally, it all wears off. Right? And the truth is, it doesn't even make any sense. Because the whole avoda of tshuva is a systemic program to change. So often what ends up happening in life is the reason we don't really get traction all the time is not because you don't care, not because you're not hardworking, but because the plan doesn't make sense to address the issue. It's like saying that, you know, I want to build a house, so I go to Home Depot and I buy a stack of 2x4s. That's nice, but that's maybe one piece to how you build a house. You want to build a spiritual personality, you want to rehabilitate a spiritual personality, there's a seder. There's an avoda, but the neshama is in such a rush to fix everything. I just want to fix everything now. So I will take on every Kabbalah that comes in every single WhatsApp message or meme or email. That sounds great. I'll do this. Spiritual burnout 3 hours later, and I'm right back where I started. Where does that urgency come from? It comes from such a pure place. Because once the neshama realizes that it messed up, all it wants is to fix it, and to fix it now. But one of the hardest pieces, but yet most vital pieces of life maturity, is that things take time. Relationships take time. You hurt someone who you love and you care about. Do not expect them to forgive you immediately. It's going to take time to rehabilitate that relationship. You mess up your neshama, which we all do. I make mistakes. It takes time to rehabilitate that relationship. But the neshama, the point that Rav Kook is trying to make over here, is who misdaris loshuv latakinas hamuvas. All the neshama wants to do is fix everything and fix everything now. Ad asher ki, I want our sin erased. Chelek zeshal tshuva. Look what Rav Kook writes. He says chelek zeshal tshuva who mesubach harbe maot. This is a very complex part. Mesubach literally means like circuitous, right? This is a very circuitous part of tshuva, a very dangerous part of tshuva. And now we understand why is it dangerous? Because it was like a person, you know, sometimes in life you could be doing many wonderful things. It doesn't mean that it's right. I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say a person says, you know what, I'm taking upon myself tikkun chatzos. I'm gonna say tikkun chatzos every night to feel the tzara of a chashbrachu, of the korban, and then what? But you sleep until 10 o'clock in the morning, right? So that doesn't make sense. But tikkun chatzos is good. Yeah, tikkun chatzos is good. We'll all agree on that. But there has to be a balance. There has to be a plan about how I'm building myself. And I will say this. I will tell you that I love the Yamim Noraim. I love the Yamim Noraim because I to me, it's just an opportunity to take inventory, to be brutally honest with myself and with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just an opportunity to feel the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even with all of my perfections and all of my faults. But the hardest part of Yamim Noraim is what's the plan? Because the neshama feels, oh, I want to fix everything, I want to fix it now. So the Yitzhahara, it's incredible, there's Yitzhahara in everything, there's also Yitzhahara in Tshuva. So the Yitzhahara in Tshuva is just kind of like throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. You know, just try whatever you can, and hopefully it'll work. So if Cook says, This is very dangerous. That's why tshuva tivis nafshis, which is tshuva that is triggered by a natural spiritual response. My soul feels broken. My soul wants to do things differently. That's beautiful, says Rav Kook. But you have to know how to gauge that, how to measure that and how to implement that. Next. So we'll say. So that's part one of tshuva. So now again, keeping track of this, we've got tshuva tivis, part one. That's part one. Part one A, tshuva tivis gufanis, physical natural tshuva. Part two, tshuva tivis nafshis, natural spiritual tshuva. Now we come to part two of tshuva. Right? So that was part one. Part two. Acher tshuva tivis, bahe amunis. This is beautiful. After what we call natural tshuva, or an inherent natural tshuva, there's tshuva emunis, which is, we'll call it emunah deka tshuva, faith-driven tshuva. What is this? Hi hachaya ba'olam imkar masores v'adas. Ultimately, again, this is tshuva. This is tshuva. That is what we'll call based in religion, masor in religion. She osekes harbi b'tshuva. Ha-Torah mafticha l'shave pasha slicha. Chatos hayochid v'atzibar nimchim ayidei tshuva. So we'll say, what is tshuva? What is tshuva emunis? Tshuva emunis comes from a belief that I can do tshuva. That's what it is. In other words, I read the psuk. We just had it in this past week's parasha. Ki karo ve'lecha davar ma'ol b'ficha o bilvavcha laso. So the Ramban says that's the mitzvah of tshuva. Ki karo ve'lecha davar ma'ol. So I know that a concept of tshuva exists. So because I know that it exists, therefore, again, I want to grab it. Now, I will say, what Rav Kook is going to say afterwards is, these levels are really built on each other. In other words, and this is why I wanted to learn this piece together before Yontif, the first step in this journey is, do you feel discomfort? Bless you. Do you feel discomfort? Do I feel pain? Because if I don't feel any pain or discomfort, that's a problem. That's a problem. That means chances are, I'm numbing something inside of me. So first step is to feel a sense of physical discomfort. After that, to feel a sense of spiritual discomfort. Now, when that happens, what does that awaken inside of me? I want to do something. But what do I want to do? Comes along tshuva emunis, which essentially is the belief that I can do tshuva. The belief that I can change. You must say, I've mentioned this many, many times. The Chiddush Arim says, one of my favorite ideas. Chiddush Arim says that on Ma'ariv, on Matzah Yom Kippur, right? We daven. By the way, there's Ma'ariv on Matzah Yom Kippur. Just getting some blank looks over here, right? So Ma'ariv on Matzah Yom Kippur. So we go ahead and we say Slach Lanu Avinu Ki Chatanu, Slach Kivatanu, right? So the Chiddush Arim says Slach Lanu Ki Chatanu. What could I? I was just Yom Kippur. I just cried out Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. I'm forgiven. Clean slate. Tablet Rasa. Why Slach Lanu? What? And the Chiddush Arim says something so beautiful. He says, I have to do tshuva for the avera of not believing that I could really be a Baal tshuva. That so many of us go through Yamim Noraim, and we're great at the davening, we sing, and we're engaged, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. But there's a part of me that doesn't really believe that I could change. Or maybe there's a part of me that's just fundamentally resistant to any kind of change. So tshuva emunis says, I believe in the power of tshuva. I believe in it. So tshuva tivis gufnis says, I'm physically uncomfortable with my chatoim. Tshuva tivis nafshis, I'm spiritually uncomfortable with my chatoim. And now, but what do I do with all of that pain? What do I do with the discomfort? Tshuva munis. Do you believe that you can change? Do you believe that you could truly be a Baal Tshuva? He goes on, he says, this means Chatos HaYochev HaTzibor Nimchim Ayidei Tshuva. Person has to believe personal sin, collective sin, national sin could all be wiped out, could all be erased through Tshuva. HaNeviyim Meleim Heim Dvarim Niskovim Ayidei Dvar Tshuva. Bechlal Ko'erech HaTochoch HaToriz Banoi Al HaTshuva HaEmunis. Bema'amakeh Yeshnam Pratam Ein Cheker Ach Asher Ach Klaleihem HaYisodhim Dershim HaRchavas Diburim Uberam Rabim. So I just point out over here, Rav Kook points out, he says, all of these things that we're discussing have many deeper layers of understanding. So really all we're doing in here is kind of laying out the framework. But there's this idea, tshuva emunis says that at the end of the day, I believe that change is possible. Now we'll say, can you imagine? We don't have to imagine, we can do it. Showing up, I come to shul, Wednesday night, that lehurachum, or that baruchu, no, right? That baruchu, right? That ushers in Rosh Hashanah. And I will say, imagine just going into this saying, you know what? I believe with all of my heart that I could change. I don't have to be the same person. I, 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 I believe in tshuva before I even get to doing tshuva. Before you get to, right, I want to point out over here, nothing here is actional so far, right? There's no actions here. This is all in my heart. This is all in my heart. I have to start. I believe it. I believe it with all of my heart that tshuva is absolute. I mamish believe in it. I believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I believe in Torah. I believe in Am Yisrael. And I believe in tshuva. That's the second category. I can't say come out to the third category. 2 more minutes. We're going to finish. To all the doubters, I'm also not reading most of it, but that's all right, right? Give me the Rashi probably. Once again, the sheets are yours. I also urge you, by the way, this happens to be a beautiful printing of Oros HaTshuva. The footnotes are absolutely incredible. The footnotes themselves are fantastic as well. I apologize, you have some of my underlines in there also. But again, really beautiful, and it's a good companion for Yontif. So last piece, third category of Tshuva. HaTshuva HaSichlis. So we'll say, so now literally, Seichel is intellect. Seichel is intellect. So what does this mean? This is beautiful. He says, HaTshuva HaSichlis, he also shekvar rachsha la'es ha'tivis v'amunis. So remember again, all of these things, they build on each other. So assuming first that a person has tshuva tivis, natural tshuva, and a tshuva tivnis. Remember I have my two branches, tshuva tivnis gufanis, tshuva tivis nafshis, natural physical tshuva, natural spiritual tshuva. Okay, that's my first 2 levels. Then after that, I have tshuva emunis, right? I believe in the concept of tshuva. Then we come to tshuva sichlis. Look what he writes. He says, this is all presupposing that I have mastered the previous states. Shekvar ba'a l'madrig al yona. Asher lo rak tsar gufani o nafshi v'ruchani. V'lo rak hashbas hamasoros v'akabala. Emi pachat onesh. O roshem kol davra choku mishpat habamen al panam ha'nefesh karma himas ha'tshuva. So we're saying, here's what's interesting. If you look, right, so if you analyze the previous steps of tshuva, right? So in tshuva tivis, right, what's motivating the tshuva? In tshuva tivis, what's motivating? What's motivating? Discomfort. Whether it's physical discomfort, spiritual discomfort. In tshuva emunis, what's motivating it? What's motivating it? A sense of belief. But remember, again, we'll say, I didn't mention this when I read this before, but in tshuva emunis, there's also this recognition that if you don't do tshuva, there's a punishment. Mm. Like, in other words, if I remain in an unrectified state, if I remain in an imperfect state, there's culpability for that. So tshuva emunis says that I believe in the power of tshuva, and I also believe in what happens if you don't do tshuva. So all of these things, the common denominator between tshuva tivis and tshuva emunis is there's a motivation. So whether it is a physical, spiritual, or theological motivation, there's something that's pushing me and propelling me to change the way I'm doing things. So listen to what he says there. He says, tshuva sichlis is different. He says, tshuva sichlis is not being motivated by physical discomfort, by spiritual discomfort, or even a belief that tshuva is a possibility, and if I don't do it, then there's culpability. But rather, he says, and he goes on, he says, so we'll say, what is this third level of tshuva? Listen to this. It's the I actually underline it over here in the sheet, on the page. Kim hakara berura haba meashkafas haolam v'achayim hashlema. Tshuva sichlis, we'll say, is incredible. This is a level where I just say, you know what? I want to be better. I want to be better. There's this thing called tshuva, and this thing called tshuva allows me to self-actualize. And this thing called tshuva allows me to become the best version of myself. And I want that. Not because I'm in physical discomfort, not because I'm in spiritual discomfort, not because the Nevi'im said you have to do tshuva and if you don't, there's culpability, but simply because I have the opportunity. Tshuva sichlis, Rabbi Osei, essentially says, I would be crazy not to do tshuva. That Ribono Shel Olam places this beautiful opportunity at my doorstep for comprehensive, cathartic change. How do I not take advantage of that? It has nothing to do with punishment. It has nothing to do with anything. It's not motivated by discomfort, physical, spiritual, theological. It's not motivated by fear. It's not motivated by anything other than seeing the beautiful opportunity that is right in front of me. Asher also lema'alosa acharei asher atafkid hativi v'amuni kvarashmu kvarashmu ba yofas yishumam. Now I will say, now it's very important. Rav Kook says, you can't go ahead and get to this level without the previous ones. which makes sense. I'm working through it, right? Because, again, on a most basic level, I have to be motivated by discomfort. If I'm not motivated by discomfort, nothing's going to motivate me. So I have to work through physical discomfort, spiritual discomfort. And then once I get through discomfort, I have to get to this idea of emunah, that there's an obligation for me to do this. I believe in tshuva, and I have an obligation to tshuva. And then once you get through all of that, you have this epiphanical moment. Yes, I have to use it once per share, right? Epiphanical moment, right? And in that epiphanical moment, I recognize that, my gosh, this is the greatest gift in the world. This is the greatest opportunity in the world. That the Ribono Shel Olam literally carves out a time, 10 days in the year for me. I could change anytime I want, right? I could affect comprehensive change in my life whenever I want. But, you know, it's like you ever meet people who, they say, we don't celebrate Mother's Day. So why?
Every day is Mother's Day.
Every day is Mother's Day. I've always said, I would love to ask your mother, like, if every day is Mother's Day, right? And I was going to say, it's true. Every day should be Mother's Day, but it's not. But it's not. Because when every day is something, then no day is nothing, right? Well, that wasn't getting this, but you understand. In other words, so the idea is, in life, it's helpful to have certain times that are designated for certain things. So I could do tshuva any day. Tshuva is not limited to Rosh Hashanah. I could do tshuva anytime. You're right, I could do it anytime. But the Ribono Shel Olam created this incredible thing that there are 10 days. Hashem says, here, I'm giving you. I'm giving you the keys to personalistic change. There's a koach in the world. Go, do what you want. Do what you want. It's yours. The gift is here. Become who you want to be. Build the life you want to build. That's tshuva sichlis, where this light bulb goes off and says, oh my gosh, I have this ability to remake myself into whoever and to whatever I want. Not motivated out of any discomfort or fear or theological awareness, but just based on the ability to access the most incredible gift. Page 14. Tshuva zu. We'll say that this is where you get to Rav Kook's beautiful poetry. He says, this tshuva, which is built on all of the previous stages, is filled with abundant wealth. Is a treasure. Is a treasure without limits. Hu ma'apechas esachatoim lios zichuyos. Let's listen to this. This tshuva sichlis is so powerful that not only could it go ahead and take away your averus, not only could it take away the onus and the punishments, but it even has the ability to transform your averus into mitzvos. So again, Rav Kook seems to equate this with what the Gemara calls tshuva me'ava, a tshuva out of love, which the Gemara explains has the ability to transform averus into mitzvos. But we're going to leave that on the side. The point is, when you have this epiphanical moment where I realize that I have access to this ridiculous koach in the world, so that, and accessing it just because I can, not because I have to, not because I'm driven, not because I'm in discomfort, but because I can, that is the highest level of awareness. And when a person takes advantage of that, they literally have the ability to transform their averos into mitzvos. He goes on, Mikol Ashkios, Himotzia Limudim Niskavim. Because on this level, I'm able to extract profound life lessons from all of my mistakes. Umikol Ashpalos Alios. And from every downfall, I can go ahead and extract an aliyah, a moment of ascent. Nedaros. Zos hatshuva she'ene kol eleha nisuos. This tshuva sichlis, where I have that moment where I want to engage in tshuva because I can. That's the moment, says Rav Kook, that everyone looks forward to. Shimuchrachas lavo, and this moment comes from all of us. Vishesofa lavo. Literally, muchrachas lavo means it has to come about. Vishesofa lavo, it will come about. Generally, when Rav Kook writes like that, what it means is every person has one of those moments of tshuva sichlis. And certainly, again, what this is also referring to is the Messianic era. Mashiach comes and there's such clarity. There's such incredible clarity. So at the end of the day, again, I have this tshuva sichlis moment. So also, if we put this all together, to me, this piece by Rav Kook, this, even if you don't learn anything else in Aras Tshuva, this is life-altering because now I have a framework for how to go through this process. Again, Rav Kook in here is not getting into the mechanics of tshuva. So we'll say this is very different also. Like the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva speaks a lot about the mechanics of tshuva. What is tshuva? How do you do it? Vidui, this, and this. Rav Kook is much more focused on, he gets into the mechanics later on also, but the conceptual framework. So we'll say, so here's our avoda. Step one, tshuva tivis gufnis. allow yourself to feel the physical discomfort of your actions. I will say, it's okay. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. But you know what? Everybody has to have that moment where I think about my Averus. And what's going to happen when I think about my Averus? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? I'm going to get a shtickle nauseous. Right? And that's okay. That's okay. That's good. That's good. That means it hurts. Right? That means I'm in pain. That means that I'm disappointed. That means that I'm that's good. And then ultimately, again, from then, it grows into a sense of spiritual, a sense of spiritual discomfort. I don't want to live like this. I don't want to say, you know how much time we spend on creating excuses, alternate realities, right? Living in a state of cognitive dissonance. We've got it all worked out. I could tell you why I don't do certain things. I could tell. I have a whole Torah for it, right? I have a Gemara, Rashi, Tosis. I have Rishonim. I have Achronim, right? Also, it's Minag Avosinu Biyadeinu. My father didn't do it. My grandfather didn't do it. No one's done it, right? So I've got it all worked out. It's exhausting, right? So I don't do this. It's not my hashkafa. Not your hashkafa. It's Aloch and Shulchan Aruch. What are you talking about? It's not your hashkafa, right? It's not this. You know, I'm a little more modern. I'm a little more Haredi. I'm a little more this. I'm a little more that. We create all of these alternate universes in order to escape the discomfort of living an incomplete life, where if Cook says, don't run far from it, lean into it. It's powerful. Because that pain, that discomfort is so powerful because when I have discomfort, one thing is for sure, which is what? What's going to happen next? What's going to happen next? I want the discomfort to stop. You see, here's the difference. If you're constantly numbing the discomfort, then ultimately, again, you never address it. I'll say, we spend so much time in life running from pain. Instead, the avoda with pain is lean into it. Lean into it, because no matter how fast you run, it's always going to run faster than you. It's always going to be there. You might as well stop running and lean into it. And the power of pain is, now that I'm in pain, I don't want to be like this anymore. I'm forced to confront, and I'm forced to address it. That's tshuva, that's tshuva tivis nafshis. After, I'm supposed to say, that's first step. Feel the physical discomfort. Feel the spiritual discomfort. Stop running from it. Lean into it. Lean into it. Feel it. Because when you feel it, you're going to want to do something about it. Then I progress from there. Tshuva emunis. I open up parshas. What parshas? Nitzavim vayelech. What parshas? Kis nitzavim. Kikar velecha davar ma'od. I see a Chazal Baruch Hu says, do tshuva. V'shafta ad Hashem Elokecha. Torah tells us to do tshuva. And if we do tshuva, Chazal Baruch Hu says, I'm going to love you. I'm going to accept you. I'm going to take you back. And if I don't do tshuva, there's ramifications for that also. That's true emunah. So my emunah, if I am a Baal emunah, which we all are, then it demands of me to do tshuva. And when I build on all these levels, then, now again, both say, they don't necessarily automatically kind of bleed into each other like in rapid succession or progression. It takes time. But if I do those first two steps, or first two, we'll call it two steps that are really three steps, then that leads me ultimately to the goal, tshuva sichlis. Where I have this moment where I'm like, you know what? I'm not in pain, because I've already let the pain course through me. I'm not scared because I already dealt with the fear of punishment and stuff like that. So instead I'm on this level where I wanted the tshuva, but I want to do it because I can. Not because I have to. Not because I'm scared of any type of repercussion if I don't. But because I want to. Because the opportunity to affect change in my life is the greatest gift HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. You know what I'm saying? I remember when I was in South Africa once, it was a beautiful community there in Johannesburg. It was to be there twice. And one time I was there, I don't remember what it was. It might have been Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av, it's Kedai, by the way, Tisha B'Av in South Africa is the winter. So the fast was over by 5:30 in the afternoon. And I'm just like, it's cool. Like it's the best Tisha B'Av of my life, right? So I remember, I think it might have been by the Suda, before the fast, or after, I don't remember, but the person I was staying at told me that he had just come back, or it might have been a different Shabbat, I'm not sure, just came back from the animal migration across the Serengeti, not the restaurant, you know, across like the wilderness, the Serengeti. And he said, it's incredible. He said, when you watch the animals, so they have to traverse like these large bodies of water. And they know already, mitchila, some of the animals are going to drown. They're going to drown. They're too little. They're too big. There's predators in there. But like, it's like incredible. He says, but they're programmed. They're programmed. They make this migration and they go across the river. We don't have to live like that. Right? In other words, we sometimes live like animals in that we become creatures of habit and we just keep crossing the same rivers. Even though, again, the predators are there, I drown, all these different things. But Lamaisa, the greatest gift in life is I don't have to be an animal in the Serengeti. That I can say, you know what? That does not look like a good road to go down, right? I don't think I should go through that body of water. I think maybe I should go around, go right, go left, go up, go down. Maybe just wait, figure next step. I don't have to be that animal. I could stop. I can stop, and I can say, you know what? The Ribono Shel Olam has given me the gift of choice. The Ribono Shel Olam has given me the gift of change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me tshuva. And ultimately, again, my life is my choice. And I can make good choices, again, not because of discomfort and not because of fear, but because I have the gift to make good choices. Says Rav Kook, that's tshuva sichlus. And Rav Kook says, that's the highest level. And we all get there one day. And we'll say, what's the only variable? What's the only variable?
When.
And why wait? We'll say, this is a different kind of year. You know, it sounds funny, like every single time, like we thought like the pandemic was the different kind of year. Well, how long was the pandemic? Like 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. It went on for, right? So, hey, so right, we always thought like, and it's amazing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, just does different, like, it's incredible, like, how life constantly evolves. And just when we think like we've hit like the pinnacle, so like, do you remember like Rabbi D, who was just here for Shabbos? Do you remember that Cholamite when his wife Lucy and his daughters Maya and Rina were murdered? Like, I think like you thought like this is the worst thing that Klal Yisrael could ever experience. And then October 7th happens, and it's like the world is constant. We're building up to something. There's the Ribono Shel Olam is moving things along at a different kind of pace. You look at the events, and I'll say, think about this in just a moment, right? Almost a year ago, Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael were humiliated in the world. We're literally a bunch of guys, like on dirt bikes and kites, like literally invaded an autonomous nation with one of the most sophisticated militaries in the world, right? Didn't make any sense. And I will say, and now what's happened over the last couple of days? Literally, entire layers and levels of terrorist organization and leadership are just being taken out systematically. There's a koach. There's a gevura. It's almost as if you see the Ribono Shel Olam is expediting the normal course of events. You know, the Beis Halevi brings down, not the Beis Halevi, the Malbim brings down, excuse me, the Malbim brings down in Parshas Chayisara. Then with this, I'll really end. Malbim brings down in Parshas Chayisara. He says that when Eliezer came to the well, and remember, he devises the whole test of chesed. I'm going to ask a girl for a drink, and if she gives me a drink and offers to water my camels, that's the wife for Yitzchok. That's the wife for Yitzchok. So the Malbim says, if you're Eliezer, what are you getting ready for? A long wait, right? Right? Buckle in, settle in, right? Bar L'chaim, it's going to be a while, right? First girl, Mom says that sometimes when the Ribono Shel Olam needs things, something to happen dramatically, he's able to expedite. Ribono Shel Olam could do anything. He expedites the timeline. We're living in a time of expedited timelines, and it sounds strange because we've been in Gullus for 2,000 years, but you could feel it. You could feel it. I will say there's something different. There's something different in the world. There's something different in Am Yisrael. And on one hand, we see these stunning victories of our military, and yet we can't bring our brothers and sisters home. So we have these dramatic victories, and yet the one thing that we want most, which is just to have our people home, our brothers and sisters, men, we can't get it done. These anomalies in our existence, the Ribono Shel Olam, there's something happening, and you feel it in the air, and you feel like this Rosh Hashanah is not a regular Rosh Hashanah. And even the fact that we have 3-day Yom Tov, well, see, you know what a 3-day Yom Tov means? You're like, yeah, I know what a 3-day Yom Tov means, right? No, I will say, a 3-day Yom Tov is Kodesh Kadashim. A 3-day Yom Tov, 3 is Chazakah. A 3-day Yom Tov is a Chazakah of Kiddusha. By the time you get to that end of that, and especially now, it's Rosh Hashanah to Shabbos Shuvah, that is a Chazakah of Kiddusha. That is unparalleled Kiddusha. And by the way, I want to point out, everyone has a 3-day yontiv this year. In Eretz Yisrael, right? Because Rosh Hashanah is 3 days in Eretz Yisrael also. All of Klal Yisrael has a 3-day Rosh Hashanah. All of Klal Yisrael has an unbroken continuity between Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos Shuvah. So do you know what that means? Do you know what that means? That Klal Yisrael is going to have a chazak of Kiddusha? It means that the Ribono Shel Olam is telling us there is a tidal wave of beautiful Kiddusha and beautiful Besor Tov that is about to wash over us. We have to tap into it. This is the year for Tshuva Sichlus. This is the year. This is the year to reach that level where I'm not being motivated by fear, and I'm not being motivated by anxiety, and I'm not being motivated by discomfort, but I'm actually taking charge of my life and deciding I want to go in a different direction. But to get to tshuva sichlis, we have to go through the first steps. So perhaps our avoda is, it's only Monday night. It's only Monday night. Monday night, 9 o'clock already. Okay, Monday night. Monday, it's about time to finish my Rav 9:10. All right, Monday night, 9:10. That gives us Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to go through the processes of tshuva tivis gufnis, tshuva tivis nafshis, and tshuva emunis. It's not a lot of work for 2 days. If we could get that done over the next 2 days and go into Rosh Hashanah and say, I'm ready for my tshuva sichlis, and I will say there is no telling what we can accomplish. We should be zocha mi'ratz Hashem to make this a real year of tshuva. But again, real tshuva, tshuva sichlis. We should be zocha mi'ratz Hashem to stop being like animals in the Serengeti and to decide how to go ahead and take charge of our lives and put direction to our lives. And in that zuchus, may we be zocha mi'ratz Hashem, all of us, to experience the ksilu v'chassima tova. Yizoch HaMiratz Hashem, that our precious soldiers should have success b'chol ma'asei adehem in all of the battles and all of the fronts that they are fighting for on behalf of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu see fit that before this year is done, our precious brothers and sisters should be brought home from captivity. V'duye Hashem Yeshuvon Uva'ut Zion Barina. May Yizoch HaMiratz Hashem that the coming year should bring the ultimate bracha, the bracha we've been yearning for thousands upon thousands of years. We'll do our part. But we say, Ribbono Shel'olam, in the schus of the tshuva sichlis that we are going to do over the course of these yam tovim, over this aseret simi tshuva, that Emir Hashem, Tavshin Pei, says over in Daf Yomi, Tavshin Pei Hei, is Rashi Tevos, for Tehei Shnas Pirsum Hanes. That ultimately, again, we have benefited from so many beautiful miracles, but the miracles we have are often cloaked in nature. Enough. I want Kriyas Yamsuf. I want man falling from the heavens. I want, as they say, an off in the miracle. It's time for Nisim Niglos. Again, beautiful. We say Al Nisach Shachol Yimano. I want Pirsumi Nisa. I want Chanukah. I want supernatural miracles, and we could demand that from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We could say Tehei Shnas Pirsum Hanes, and it's Tehei Hayedia. What's the Nes? The Nes is Mashiach. The Nes is Geula. And if we just do our work and work these steps of tshuva, that Amir Hashem, the presuming niece of Mashiach, the presuming niece of Gula, will Amir Hashem devolve upon our people. Amir Rabbi Aminu. Let's say Mayriv in the main shore.